Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, March 8th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Amrick?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geist?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothbus?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Flatern? President Anderson?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Veit.
As we prepare to pray, it's been my honor to serve you all this week. Thank you, and know that you are in my prayers throughout the day. So I offer a prayer for those who are enacting law. Let us pray. O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech thee so to guide and bless this legislature, that they may enact such laws as shall please thee to the glory of your name and the welfare of your people. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March the 7th, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Senator Case, did you have something for us, or do you want us to wait a bit? Why don't you go ahead, and then we'll do the other things a bit later. Go ahead.
With your permission, Mr. President, I'd like to announce that the Conference Committee on Senate File 5, County Commissioners' Removal of Appointed Board Members, and that would be, Cooper, Case, and Coe. If we could slip outside into the Senate lobby and the public area there, we have our Conference Committee members right there, and apparently there's been a breakthrough, Mr. President. So if we could meet briefly.
We will do all we can to facilitate that, so permission granted.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Schiffer.
And Mr. President, could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'm very happy to report back to you that the Sterling Capitol Dome mission has been accomplished out here, and under the close supervision of the crew of skillful engineers, they did go up, they circumnavigated the dome above us, and successfully came back to Earth. So I want you to know that everything is under control.
Senator Schiffer, I was given the opportunity to make that trip this morning, and I quickly decided that was way above my pay grade, and I didn't go. Thank you. Doctor for the day, Kim Shamley. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Shamley is from Cheyenne. We don't have a nurse for the day. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1977, Martin's Cove was added to the National Register of Historic Places. It's located on the Mormon Trail and is also part of the North Platte Sweetwater section of the Oregon Trail. Our thought or quote for the day comes from George Bernard Shaw. He says that liberty means responsibility, and that's why some people dread it. Do we have some messages from the House?
March the 7th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 277. Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 107. The House conferees are Representative Berger, Chairman, Representative Illaway, and Stubson. March the 7th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, Message Number 278. Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 59. The House conferees are Representative Pedersen, Chairman, Representative Harshman and Petroff, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Do we have some concurrences? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are you ready in regard to message 266 having to do with Senate File 2?
I am, Mr. President.
I'd like that ready in a place.
March the 7th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 266, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File Number 2, appropriation for the legislature. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, excused 4. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 266, concurrent request in reference to Senate File 2 appropriation for the legislature, and ask you to vote aye. What the House did was add some additional money for laptop computers, particularly in the form of $10,000 for purchase of some tablet computers for a pilot project with the Joint Appropriations Committee. In essence, they would be similar, I guess they would be like iPads in which they could push all the data of the budget onto those, which would help them in working through the budget and also to be more or less less paperwork. In addition, there was an amendment that was added to increase funding of $25,000 to pay for costs of attendance by joint education interim committee members to meetings by the Select Committee on Statewide Education Accountability. That was approved by Management Council last night, and so I'd urge your favorable consideration of this concurrence request and ask you to vote aye.
Is there any discussion? Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 2, and has been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 2. We have some joint conference committee reports.
Got it done. Look at that. Got it done.
Yeah.
Senator Perkins, are you ready in regard to Joint Conference Committee number one, referencing Senate File 25?
This is
25. I'd ask the clerk to read that in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee number one report, Senate File 25, public records. Reference House Message number 202. Signing for the House, Representatives Brown, Reeder, and Stewart. Signing for the Senate, Senators Perkins, Hicks, and Rothfuss.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Report number one to message number 202 with reference to Senate File 25 and ask the body to vote aye. What we've done in this is Senate File 25 is the public records. We're familiar with that, Mr. President. We've debated that. We've had numerous debates through numerous amendments. We went back. The body rejected the initial conference committee report. We've gone back. We visited with the House. The good senator from the mother county visited about one of the amendments. The House retreated from one amendment. We left one amendment in. The amendment that we left in is an amendment that removed three words, which was at the suggestion of staff. So Senate File 25 on public records is now only three words different than it left the Senate. And the three words that's different were basically extraneous words that were asked removed by staff because they really didn't apply. It was really more of a grammatical issue than anything else. So with that, we have the public records bill, Senate File 25, back before us in essentially the exact same form that it left the Senate and ask the body to vote aye. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and against the vote for the conference committee report, I just want the body to note what we're doing here in this bill. And it's not on this particular amendment, but it's over the definition of what a public record is. And we are changing that. And I want you to know that you're going to be going back to our home districts. And I want to go to page 2, the bottom part of page 2. The term public, I'm quoting, the term public records includes any written communication or other information, whether in paper, electronic, or other physical form, received by the state, any agency, institution, or political subdivision of the state. That's all the way down to the level of irrigation districts. In furtherance of the transaction of public business of the state or agency, institution, or political subdivision of the state, whether at a meeting or outside a meeting of the body. So that means anybody who sends anybody an email. Does that mean that, for instance, a county commissioner, a town councilman, even a commissioner of a fire district, does that mean they're going to have to get a separate email account? More importantly, if somebody goes to their town councilman and they have a specific personal problem to do with the town or to do with their other political subdivision, their irrigation district or something, or let's say they're talking to a county commissioner, and a couple of days later they read a portion of that email in their local newspaper because it is public record. I just want everybody to realize what we're doing. And then the other thing I want to leave with the body is that right now the legislature exempts itself from this bill. And I can promise you, during the interim, you're going to be defending exactly why. Why are we exempting ourselves from a public records bill? There is nobody, frankly, more public than what we do and who we are in furtherance of our official business.
Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I urge you to adopt the conference committee report. There is nothing wrong with this conference committee report. This is the bill that passed the Senate after months and months of hard work by your Judiciary Committee, with many entities involved in adopting a compromise. Make no bones about it. If you vote no against this conference committee report, you are voting because you don't like the bill. This bill passed the Senate. It is our bill in its form and fashion in which we had it. And I urge you to stick with our position. Let's get this behind us. Let's do the right thing and vote aye.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 report in reference to Senate File 25. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Yes.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich? Esquibel, Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report in reference to Senate File 25. Senator Perkins, are you ready in regard to message number 224 having to do with Senate File 27? You think about it while we read it in.
Okay, thank you.
Joint Conference Committee number 1 report, Senate File 27, public meetings, reference House message number 224. Signing for the House, Representatives Brown, Greer, and Vranish. Signing for the Senate, Senators Perkins, Barnard, and Landon.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report number 1 to House Message number 224, or the concurrence report, I guess, was 224, or Prince Request, and, which is House Bill Senate File 27, and would ask that the body vote aye. This is the public records. Obviously, we just dealt with the public meetings. Obviously, we just dealt with the public records. Mr. President, there may have been some confusion about this bill as it left the House and what we did. But ultimately what we did is we went back to the public meeting and we looked at what the House has done. And the bill that you have before you now is in the substantial form that, again, it left the Senate. There are some words that the identical language that got moved around and put in different sections, but ultimately all the language that was in the Senate version as it left is still in the bill. There were two differences. That left two differences, Mr. Chairman. One was that the House had removed the criminal sanctions for a willful failure to comply with the public meetings law, and it changed that to a civil penalty only. Mr. President, I took an informal poll of a number of members of the body about whether they liked that provision or not. Most folks thought that was probably a good amendment to reduce it from a criminal penalty to a civil penalty only. Left us with the one amendment. There was only one other amendment, really, that the House had done. That was it brought in and made it expanded some of the definitions of things that would come under the executive session rules for public meetings. It listed two privileges. We removed those that amendment for the following reason, Mr. President. In executive session, you can still, things are confidential in executive session, Mr. President. Anything is confidential by law. And so what the House has done is they had taken two of the many different things that are confidential by law and had put them in the bill. Ultimately, from the only thing we could conclude from the Senate's vote based upon the condition of the bill was they must not have liked that provision, Mr. President. So we had them remove that. The argument is simply that
All the things that are confidential under law are still will still be confidential under executive session, and listing two of them didn't improve the bill. So the House receded from that provision. We agree, like I said, after talking with an informal poll among senators, that we did like the reduction from a criminal sanction to a civil sanction only. And with that, that's what the bill is. So, like I said, other than the civil sanction, changing it to a civil sanction from a criminal sanction, the bill is in substantially the same form and content as it, well, not the same form, but certainly the same content, Mr. President, as it left this body. And with that, I ask for your favorable, or for an aye vote on the Joint Conference Committee report. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other discussion before we take action? Seeing none, the motion is that Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 report in reference to Senate File 27. You have been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing.
Barnard, aye.
No to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report number 1, referencing Senate File 27. Senator Schiffer, are you ready in regard to message number 201, Senate File 8?
Yes, Mr. President,
I am. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee number 1 report, Senate File 8, ethanol tax credit, reference House message number 201. Signing for the House, Representative Semlich, Eklund, and Teeters. Signing for the Senate, Senators Schiffer, Jennings, and Meyer.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report number 201, dealing with Senate File 8, the ethanol tax credit. Mr. President, you will recall when this bill came back from the House had extended the subsidy for ethanol out to the year 2023. It stair-stepped down. It was at the full 40 cents, and then it dropped to 18 cents. Luckily, we had a conference committee that was all three in the ag field, so they understand subsidies very well. And what we did is we presented to them that we would split the difference. We were at 2013. They were at 2023. When we split the difference, actually we added 2 years, but they went along with that as an even split. But it's 2 years at the full 40 cents per gallon subsidy, and then it stops. The other thing we did, we changed the effective date to July 1st, 2015. And the reason for that is you deliver corn on a contract, the corn from the 2014 growing season, they need time to deliver on those contracts. That made sense to me. So I ask you to vote aye on message number 201.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion and question being called? The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1, referencing Senate File 8. I would ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in reference to Senate File 8. Get folks here. Oh, okay. And then you don't want me to call on you.
May I have privilege of the floor, please? Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, this year will mark the 225th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America. As part of this year's celebration, the Daughters of the American Revolution will provide a copy of the Constitution to all fifth graders in the state of Wyoming. What a great thing. And we're very fortunate, Mr. President, that we have several members of the Wyoming State Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution who are joining us up here in the gallery. And in recognition of their effort, with your permission, Mr. President, I'd like to read a resolution in support of their effort at this time.
Please do, Senator Case.
The 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming recognizes and celebrates 2012 as the Year of the Constitution. A joint resolution recognizing the annual celebration of the United States Constitution, September 17th through the 23rd, and increasing the understanding of the Constitution in 2012. Be it resolved by the 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas in 1955, the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution petitioned the United States Congress to annually set aside September 17 through the 23rd for the observance of the Constitution of the United States of America. And whereas this resolution was later adopted by the United States Congress and signed into law on August 2, 1956 by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and whereas September 17th will mark the 225th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. And whereas it is fitting and proper to officially recognize the study of the greatest document of human liberty and promote its importance to the residents of Wyoming, especially to its young people. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that in partnership with the members of the Wyoming State Society, National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution, proclaim that 2012 be the year of constitutional literacy in the state of Wyoming. Section 2, that we support the Daughters of the American Revolution in their efforts to provide a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America to all fifth graders in the great state of Wyoming, and that we will assist these members in our legislative districts to this end. Signed on the 8th day of March, 2012, Jim Anderson, President of the Senate, Representative Edward Buchanan, Speaker of the Wyoming House of Representatives. Members of the Senate, welcome the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Welcome, ladies, and these are indeed times that merit your attention. Thank you so much for what you do.
And, Mr. President, we'll take this down to the House and get that other fellow's signature on this.
Signing of enrolled acts. Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
A privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, we have a resolution that we have circulated that's been signed by members of this Senate that if it's all right with you, I'd like to read.
Go ahead, Senator. We're looking forward to this one.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's the 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming recognizes and celebrates Grant Larson Joint Resolution Day. A resolution of the Senate declaring March 7, 2012, Grant Larson Joint Resolution Day. Be it resolved by the 61st Senate of the State of Wyoming, whereas Grant Larson served in the Wyoming Senate from 1995 through 2010, and whereas Grant Larson presided as President of the Senate of the 58th Wyoming Legislature, and whereas during his tenure as President of the Senate, Senator Larson instilled upon the body an understanding and reverence for use of joint resolutions to express the will of the legislative body. And whereas, given his reverence for joint resolutions, Senator Larson discouraged the ubiquitous use of the same, encouraging the body to show restraint. And whereas, on March 7, 2012, the Wyoming Senate passed out of the Senate 4 joint resolutions strongly expressing the will of the legislative body. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the Senate of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that in honor of the President of the Senate of the 58th Wyoming Legislature, the Senators signing below respectively declare March 7, 2012 as Senator Grant Larson Joint Resolution Day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, Senator Bebout. And for those newer members that may have not had the opportunity to serve with or under Senator Larson, what a great and good man he was. I always said it's a privilege to fill his chair, but I'd never be able to fill his shoes. So thank you, Senator Bebout. Senator Landon, go ahead.
Mr. President, with your indulgence, I thought it might be appropriate if the members of the Senate took an honorary vote on that resolution, and I would encourage the body to vote no.
Out of order. For lack of order.
Go ahead, Senator Christensen.
And Mr. President, I'm not sure if our dear Senator Larson is listening, but I'm sure this resolution and this sign of respect makes him grip his golf clubs even tighter.
Okay, thank you. A good time was had by all. Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 50, Senate Enrolled Act number 55, original Senate file number 38.
Senate Enrolled Act number 55, being original Senate file 38, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 55, original Senate file 38. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 56, original Senate file 65.
Senate Enrolled Act number 56, being original Senate file 65, an act relating to the Department of Agriculture.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 56, original Senate file 65. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 57, original Senate file 2.
Senate Enrolled Act number 57, being original Senate file 2, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 57, original Senate file number 2. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 40, original House Bill number 46.
House Enrolled Act number 40, being original House Bill 46, an act relating to handicap parking.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 40, original House Bill 46. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 41, original House Bill number 89.
House Enrolled Act number 41, being original House Bill 89, an act relating to workplace safety.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 41, original House Bill 89. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 42, original House Bill 108.
House Enrolled Act number 42, being original House Bill 108, an act relating to teacher certification.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 42, original House Bill 108. So signed. House Enrolled Act 43, original House Bill 25.
House Enrolled Act number 43, being original House Bill 25, an act relating to real property.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 43, original House Bill number 25. House Enrolled Joint Resolution 5, original House Joint Resolution 7.
House Enrolled Joint Resolution number 5, being original House Joint Resolution number 7, a joint resolution requesting Congress and the President of the United States to reverse the policy of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services regarding health plan coverage for sterilization and contraception.
I'm about to sign House Joint House Enrolled Joint Resolution number 5, original House Joint Resolution number 7. So signed. I have another Joint Conference Committee report. This Senator Nicholas, are you ready in regard to House Message 269, Senate File 107? I'd ask that be read in, please.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 107, Public Works Contracts, reference House Message Number 269.
Would you?
Signing for the House, Representatives Berger, Illaway, and Stubson. Signing for the Senate, Senators Nicholas, Cooper, and Peterson.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Conference Committee report for Senate File 107, Public Works Contracts, and ask that you vote aye. You recall this was did a couple things. One is there was a difference between the House and the Senate with respect to when bonds would be required for projects. The original JAC bill had lifted that to $250,000. The House had eliminated that increase, leaving it at $100,000. We compromised at $150,000. The House had adopted some naming conventions for changing language. We rejected all of those positions. And then there was a position with respect to whether or not the laborers would have to be U.S. citizens. They had created new language. We rejected that position. We did adopt the provision of the House that eliminated the executive order capacity to nullify or change these statutes. I think the view is now that we've come far enough that we feel good about where we're at. There is, of course, the interim committee that will continue to look at this process, but I'd ask that you vote aye.
Is there any discussion? Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1, having to do with Senate File 107. You have been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe. Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer. Scott. Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report number 1 in reference to Senate File 107. Senator Case, are you ready in regard to message number 179, Senate File 5? I'd ask that be read in, please.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 5, County Commissioners, Removal of Appointed Board Members, Reference House Message 179. Signing for the House, Representative Patton, Botten, and Byrd. Signing for the Senate, Senators Case, Coe, and Cooper.
Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 5. Mr. President, you might remember that, recall from this bill, it's about the removal of board members by county commissioners. And as you recall, when this bill left the Senate, we had the word that you were required to have cause, and I believe the good senator from Albany County's amendment to say cause, and you're supposed to do it at a public hearing. When the bill went down, made the journey to the east, it came back to us with an immediate effective date, which I think we're okay with. They went into the area of the Planning Commission where we had used the word trustee, and they changed that word to member, so we're okay with that one. But the one that we weren't okay with was with the fact that they removed the cause in the public hearing. So we've had a couple of meetings on this, Mr. President. It was a hard fight, lots of wrestling, blood on the walls and everything. But eventually the House came and saw the wonderful wisdom of the Senate, and I'm pleased to say that that language has been restored, and I would just certainly encourage you all to vote aye. I think they were scared of Coe, Mr. President.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report in reference to Senate File 5. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, reference to Senate File 5. Yes, Senator, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to welcome a group of students up here in the gallery behind you. If they'd stand up, please. This is a group of our ninth graders from Snowy Range Academy in Laramie, and I'd like the Senate to give them a big welcome and hope they have a good time today. Hear, hear.
Welcome, students. We hope that you enjoy your day. My fellow senators, joining us to provide entertainment while we are at ease is Pat Frohlander and Wyoming's new poet laureate, who was appointed by Governor Mead in late 2011. Pat hails from Sundance, where she works at a family ranch with her husband. So please help me in welcoming Wyoming's poet laureate, Pat Frohlander. All right. So go ahead. We're really looking forward to your poetry. Go ahead. Yes.
Is this on? All right.
It is now.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, thank you very much for having me this day. You know, I'm very proud to be Wyoming's representative as the poet laureate, and I'm prouder yet of what you do on behalf of the state of Wyoming, one of only five legislative bodies who come directly from the people. And so I thank you for that. The first poem I'd like to share with you today is about my home near Sundance. My husband is a fifth-generation rancher there, and I've been blessed to work at his side. And this is about my community, where my heart resides. It's titled Houston Creek. I'd love to have you all come visit sometime. Through the heart of the Bear Lodge Mountains, Houston Creek wends its way through the valley, eventually spills out into the Belfouche River. Paint-peeled barns and homesteads nestle among meadows, home to badger, raccoon, porcupine, gophers, and hawks. Along its banks, generations have raised livestock, hay, grain, and gardens. Chokecherries mingle along draws lined with baroque. Hayfields sprawl in sunshine. Wildflowers peep through the grass. Secrets live here. The rice ranch, the cave chilled ice all summer. Cooled lemonade for 1890s picnics in the meadow below. Coal Mine Hill conceals a whiskey still in one of the caved-in tunnels. Lures adventurous teens to trouble. Carved in the side of Rupe Hill is a wagon trace. When the wind is right, you can hear the crack of the teamster's whip. On the Frohlander Place, Arrowhead's surface testify to those who trail through Ponderosa seeking muleys and whitetails. A tornado ripped through the Chatfield Ranch, carried away the barn, never touched the house 30 feet away. On the Lambert Land, a soddy roof caved in, tucks beside a reservoir, the grave on the north side unmarked. When snow lies 3 feet deep, stories are told over dinner of wicked horses, tough cattle, good neighbors. Grasshoppers, weevils, and drought punctuate their tales. Laughter salts each conversation. Aged eyes mist. Secrets are told only to a few. And the last poem I'd like to do for you is a composite of two women. One, my grandmother, who came by covered wagon to Kansas. The other woman, my husband's grandmother, who was raised in Wyoming Territory, eventually developed her own homestead. Although this is a work of fiction, it really is an honoring of the attributes of these women who stood beside their husbands in carving Wyoming and establishing it for the state that we know and love today. This poem is titled Requiem in Lace. She lies with eyes closed to the afternoon sun, a peaceful smile on her face. Her hands rest upon the worn knitted spread she'd fashioned to look just like lace. I gaze at her fingers gnarled with time and labors too many, too long, and her gold wedding band, once heavy and wide, is worn thin and, like her, almost gone. She was just a child when she came to the West. Her diary spoke volumes to me of a mother dead early from birthing a son and a sister who barely could see. A sod, one-room house, opposed blizzard wind that howled at her door in her fear. Smallpox and snake bite, she dealt with it all with courage and many a tear. A quiet man brought her to settle the ranch she lovingly came to call home. Four sons and a daughter fulfilled many dreams, but her husband continued to roam. She buried him after she'd nursed him a year with lungs that were black from the mines. She added two sons to the burial plot she'd fenced off up in the pines. I was her first grandchild to hold. Her namesake, she wrote on the page. It seems I was headstrong and given to sass, but outgrew those notions with age. I suspect a firm hand and no-nonsense look from a grandmother given to teach rescued a youngster from all kinds of trouble that lay within easy reach. She patched all my jeans as well as my knees and a heartache or two by the way. She recorded the scene in her diary that night. Excuse me. She patched all my jeans as well as my knees and a heartache or two, by the way, and gave me her locket for my something old to wear on my wedding day. She rocked my sweet girl in the chair by her bed, as she'd rocked many others before. She recorded the scene in her diary that night, arthritic hands, tired and sore. This morning, no coffee brews on the stove, no bread dough rises in pans. And the hardest to bear in this parting of ours is the stillness of her gentle hands. The afternoon sun has slipped into night, and silent my vigil I keep. You are the woman I want to become, I whisper to her in her sleep. And just before dawn, we say our goodbyes, my hands and hers in embrace. On top of the worn, well-loved knitted spread, she fashioned to look just like lace. Thank you so much.
Pat, thank you for joining us today and reminding us of the importance of the arts in our culture, and we appreciate you taking the time to visit the Wyoming Senate and sharing your words. Thank you so much. Messages from the House.
March the 8th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 279, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, Senate file number 34, Medicaid Option Study. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, excused 3. Joint Conference Committee number 1 report, Senate file 34, Medicaid Option Study, reference House message number 234, signing for the House, Representatives Harvey, Gingrich, and Miller, signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Dockstader, and Nutting. March the 8th, 2012. From the House of Representatives, message number 280, Joint Conference Committee, Committee number 1 report adopted. Mr. President, Senate file number 85, General Permits. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 49, noes 8, excused 3. You need these back.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead. You may.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look on your baskets, you'll see the governor's message with respect to House Bill 121 and the budget. If you've got them there, I'll take you through them. Does everybody have them? I've got my copies. They might have been just in your informational. Two letters, each of drafted to the president. Perkins can't find his, but he'll find it in about an hour. There we go. All right, I'll go first through the... There were a couple line item vetoes on the budget, Mr. President. I'll go through the items. And it's easy if you go look to the attachments, which are the pages that went down or that actually returned to us. So if you look over on page 8 of the budget... The first line item was a single word deleted, the word oversee. You'll recall that this is the language creating the or giving the state chief information officer certain responsibilities with respect to the school finance data collection. The governor struck through the word oversee so that the to make clear that the CIO would review and report on all aspects of the administration and information data collection policies. We'll confer with the chairman of education, but for all practical purposes, I think if you look at the total package that we've sent down on data collection and the role of the CIO, that's probably going to become an insignificant change. Over on page 9 of the budget, which is the second page of the handout, you'll see that the governor lined out the requirement that the chiefs, the CIO provide a report not later than the 15th day of each month. We'll be getting those reports, just not as frequently, or at least the governor preferred not to have a hard date in that every month. So that's just a frequency issue, and I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Over on page 13 of the budget, on DEQ, you'll recall that we had eliminated three positions in DEQ. The governor actually line item vetoed that item. The governor's thought with respect to that is that it still remains an important part of the role of DEQ. There is the 4% cuts coming up, and he was just cutting himself some more slack with respect to that position. You see that. When you look over on page 58 of the budget on the following pages, deals with employee benefits. The issue here was an error on our part. When the staff made the final drafting of the language with respect to employee health care, they actually included the dollar amount that was in the last year's budget, and there was just an administrative error. This is one where actually our staff caught it. And what we've done, you don't have page 59 in front of you, but the line item provides that the budgets allow the following amounts for both years of the biennium. if you had 59 and you could see it in your other bill, the second year amount was within about $4 of where we needed to be. So we line itemed out the first year that was too low, leaving in the second year the biennium for the cap, if you will, for employee reimbursement for both years. That will be a little bit less than what's required for the second year of the biennium, and we'll just address that in the supplemental budget. The default, though, is by these line items out, the employee benefits cap is that which is set in page 59 that you'd look in your budget for. Like I say, it's about $4 to $5 different than what the actual amount is. A&I will continue to pay out at the rate that we intended to authorize, and there was supposed to be another incremental change for the second year of the biennium, and we'll pick that up in the supplemental budget. If you look over on page 65 of the budget, the next page, the zero-based budgeting, JAC had recommended zero-based budgeting on the 600-900 series. Those are grants and contracts. We added section 200. We were really intending to get to travel expenses and information technology, computer expenses. There are a bunch of 200 series that are quite voluminous that the governor thought was onerous, so he line-itemed them out the section 200s and is going to provide by executive order an instruction to agencies to zero-base those parts that we were trying to reach. So that's something we can handle administratively through the budget process. That takes you to House Bill 121. There was a single veto there. This is the Meyer Amendment that provided that in the event that natural gas fueling station is sold, that the proceeds go back to general fund. The Attorney General advised, and actually I think we all already know that, we just didn't catch it, that those funds, because they're federal in the first instance AML, they're not allowed simply to go back to general fund. They have to be repurposed through the AML process by going back and addressing them. So he deleted that, but we'll keep our eye on those dollars and make sure they're used for what we intended. Mr. President, that explains the line item vetoes on both bills.
Are there any questions, Senator Nicholas, in reference to either of the two bills, Senate File 1 or House Bill 121? Thank you for that, Senator Nicholas. Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Not really sure what the motion is, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate stand at ease until the sound of the gavel.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Senate is at ease. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe, has an announcement at our moment of recess. Or go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, there are two outstanding conference committee reports that are being worked up at this time, Senate File 57 and Senate File 59. We're waiting on those. And then we're also waiting on the House to sign their in reference to the bills that we just did, a concurrence revote. They have to concur on what we just did, and so we're waiting on that. So really things are kind of winding down. We have those two outstanding, Senate File 57, 59, so we're just kind of waiting for those reports.
Mr. President? Go ahead, Senator Kasin. We are at ease.
I know we are served this kind of an informal privilege, please.
No, yes, that's fine.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, everybody on their desk has a team and individual application for the 2012 Komen Wyoming Race for the Cure. Recall that the Senate has always been a stalwart sponsor of this, and to commemorate it, we've got cookies with the pink ribbon. They're in the break room. I don't know if we want them distributed or not, but I'd encourage all the senators to participate in this. We've always had stellar support, and ask for your continued efforts. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Cooper?
My cookie's got a bite.
I know we all have got the forms for the Komen Race for the Cure, but we're wondering, those who want to participate or who want to donate, who we should give that to or whom.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other informal announcements while we're at ease? Okay. We will. Senate will come back to order. Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act, Senate Enrolled Act number 58, original Senate file 34.
Senate Enrolled Act number 58 being original Senate file 34, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 58, original Senate file 34.
Excuse me.
I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 59, original Senate File 85.
Senate Enrolled Act number 59, being original Senate File 85, an act relating to administrative procedure.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 59, and it's the original Senate file 85. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President. Members, we're in to try to coordinate between the House and the Senate, and leadership, minority and majority, have a press conference here in a few minutes. What we're going to do is we're going to adjourn for lunch, come back at 2, finish up our business at that time. They're not going to vote on anything till after 2 as it is, and then we can conclude with 2 conference committee reports, and we should be on our way to getting this wrapped up this afternoon. So with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Senator Case, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If I could have a combination of the Corporations Committee members by my desk and the minority party, we've got a little business to take care of.
Okay. Any other requests, announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate will be at recess until 2 p.m., 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're at recess.